It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Tuesday, October 16th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And we'll be contemplating later if the playlist is the new soundtrack.
And we haven't forgotten about that whole Michael Jackson hologram, biopic, jukebox musical thing, but the answer is kind of complicated. So we're just going to go through this whole episode, and then if you really want to know, just keep listening at the end and we'll explain it. Here are a few of today's top music headlines. Congratulations to Lady Gaga, who's apparently engaged to Hollywood agent Christian Carino. Gaga referred to him as her fiancé during a speech at Elle's 25th annual Women in Hollywood celebration in Los Angeles on Monday. She's also been sporting a ring in recent months.
Well, that's some bummer news for anyone who was watching A Star Is Born and was hoping that secretly Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga were in love.
More inspiring news. Grimes and Elon Musk, apparently still a thing. They went pumpkin shopping together in Los Angeles.
Aw.
Do you think the Great Pumpkin will come to their pumpkin patch?
Yes.
Nothing more sincere than the Los Angeles pumpkin patch where Grimes and Elon Musk go shopping. Chance the Rapper might be one of the most popular people in Chicago, but he's not running for mayor, at least not this year.
I would vote for Chance the Rapper. I don't know what that necessarily says about me, but he's somebody who likes to make donations. He believes in causes. He's a man of the people. He's out there driving Lyft and talking to everybody. But yeah, there was a bit of news, a bit of buzz yesterday where people were anticipating some sort of announcement, and a lot of people thought he was running for government, but no.
He had a press conference. Everybody thought he was going to make his mayoral announcement, or maybe they were just hoping he would. Actually, he was there to endorse a different candidate, Amara Enya. Could be some interesting dinner table discussions among members of the Bennett family, though, since Chance's father, Ken Bennett, who's a former staffer for current mayor Rahm Emanuel, is supporting a different candidate, Tony Preckwinkle. Chance said, though, that no matter who you vote for, he's really hoping that his fans will come out and vote this election day.
So we're not worried about the names that have the most recognition or who would beat who in a runoff. We're worried about our individual votes. And so we will see the largest 18 to 25 voter turnout in Chicago's history.
Well, it's been a tough week for the stock market, but investors are bullish on dire straits. That is what the online marketplace Royalty Exchange discovered on Monday when it offered the opportunity to buy a share of the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer's future royalties. They said demand for Dire Straits far exceeded supply.
Wow. Has any other artist ever done that?
Yeah, actually, more and more artists, both new artists and veteran artists, are doing this. So basically what happens is they sell a piece of their future royalties for songwriting and or performance. And they do it for the same reason that any business sells stock. You get cash up front that you can either just take as profit, or you can invest in things like a new studio or a new album or whatever. And your investors, in turn, get a share of your future royalties.
That's almost like a record label, or the old school way that record labels worked, where they would give you money up front. So now, like, the people are your record label.
Yeah, exactly. Royalty Exchange CEO Matthew Smith said, "The demand for the Dire Straits catalog illustrates just how well music royalties satisfy investors' appetite for a meaningful return in today's investing landscape." Well, with expected returns of 12 to 15% on those Dire Straits shares, those buyers clearly don't think they're paying
money for nothing.
Money for nothing and your chicks for free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it.
We live in the future. Yesterday we were talking holograms. Now, what are millennials killing? The album soundtrack.
How so?
Well, so there's this new movie. It's called Mid-90s. It's all about the 90s. Of course, there's going to be an amazing movie soundtrack. And I don't know about you, Jay, but a lot of times when I'm listening to movies, I'm like, oh my God, this soundtrack is amazing. I want to own the soundtrack. And that was kind of my childhood, was building these soundtracks and falling in love with them. I can think off the top of my head, Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet. But this mid-90s, they've decided to do something completely different. So they've joined up with Spotify, and they're doing a playlist instead of an album, because they're saying, well, everybody's streaming music anyways. Why would we put out an album when we could just make a playlist, make it easy, streamline it? So they are calling this the first ever official Motion Picture Playlist. Basically, director Jonah Hill says soundtracks as compilation albums are a thing of the past.
You know, the compilation albums in general, why would you even have them if physical sales are not going to be happening? But the irony is that there's actually a soundtrack that's the number one album in the country right now, A Star Is Born. The difference being, that's original music, whereas the soundtrack for this new album, Mid-90s, which comes out next Friday, has songs by Nirvana, Cypress Hill, Pixies. So established songs that you don't necessarily need to just package together and put on a CD or even on vinyl, I guess.
Do you have a favorite soundtrack that you go back to over and over again?
Well, I can tell you the first compact disc I ever bought in my life was the Rocketeer soundtrack. Shout out to James Horner. But I did look up also some of the biggest selling soundtracks of all time, because soundtracks have been huge historically in the music industry. They've been some of the biggest selling albums, spawn huge singles, revitalized careers. So the top five selling soundtracks of all time, The Bodyguard.
Of course, I Will Always Love You.
Saturday Night Fever,
mm-hmm.
defining the disco era. Purple Rain, Love You, Prince. Forrest Gump, throwback soundtrack from 1994.
Pulp Fiction, give me Pulp Fiction.
That's a great soundtrack, but I'm going to say even more iconic, Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Be My Baby. Well, historically, guitar stars have been men. It's sad, but the truth has been, if you Google best guitarists ever, people are like, oh, Clapton, B.B. King, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's changing now. Half of today's new guitar players are women and girls. That's the result of a new study by Fender, which says its marketing strategy will reflect this new normal. This is the case in both the U.S. and the U.K.
Women have always been playing guitar, but thank you for finally recognizing it, Fender.
Yeah, and they're really buying guitars now. And it's not just what was referred to as the Taylor Swift effect. Taylor Swift is one of the most prominent guitar players out there. And people thought, oh, you know, so she rose to fame. So some people ran out and bought some guitars, and then that's going to be kind of a blip on the radar. But not the case. Women are accounting for more and more guitar buyers and beginning guitar players.
Yeah, I got in on the Jewel effect. Back when Jewel came out with her album, that's when I bought my guitar. But I think that's something where anytime you actually see someone who looks like you, reflects you, you know, like they say, representation matters. And it's good that they're finally stepping up.
Absolutely. So Fender's recent marketing has included notable female guitarists in bands like Bully and Warpaint. And they're also taking account of the fact that not everybody buys a guitar to be a rock star. It turns out that most people who buy guitars just plan to play for close friends. But you never know. You write that magic song, and you could find yourself up there in front of the multitudes.
Be the next Annie Clark, St. Vincent, and shredding away on the stage.
So what's your favorite St. Vincent guitar jam?
Her shred moment in Surgeon is pretty epic.
Speaking of women who rock, Courtney Love sang whole songs with a band of 1,500 this past July, and the results were captured in a video that was just released. It's today's viral video pic.
Where was she? What was this a part of?
She was in Florence, Italy. It was a concert organized by a group called Rockin' 1000. It's a group that grew out of, remember in 2015 when a bunch of Italians wanted to get Foo Fighters to come play in their country? And so they all like got out in a field and played this massive epic version of Learn to Fly.
Yeah.
And it worked. Foo Fighters were like, that rules, we're totally coming. Well, so that effort was so successful, the group kind of kept it rolling and have kept mounting concerts like this. So they mounted this concert this past July. It was actually as a charity benefit, with proceeds going to support drug rehabilitation. And Courtney Love says that when she saw the videos of their earlier performances, she was like, I totally want to be a part of that. She said, quote, it reminded me of the early punk scene with its community centered around diversity and acceptance. So basically they got this stadium full of singers, guitarists, drummers, just this massive rock band. And they played about 18 songs. And Courtney Love jumped up on stage for a couple of whole songs, including Celebrity Skin. And that's today's music news. You can see that video of Courtney Love rocking out with the multitudes and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And this is Jade.
Our producer is Anna Wagle. You can subscribe over at thecurrent.org/musicnews to get our daily music news newsletter. And our podcast will be back tomorrow with more headlines.
Look at my face.
Now for some corrections and clarifications. So yesterday on the podcast, we were talking about this new thing where there are holograms going on tour, there are biopics, there are jukebox musicals, and we were debating if anybody had gotten the trifecta. And I asked Jay if Michael Jackson had.
It's complicated. Okay, so the question is, has he got the biopic, the jukebox musical, and the hologram tour? Okay, biopic, there have been TV biopics. Searching for Neverland, the 2017 Lifetime movie, not well regarded. But it is a Michael Jackson biopic, so there that is. Jukebox musical, coming. Expected in 2020 on Broadway, if all goes well. So get in line for that. And hologram tour, not a tour yet, and maybe not even technically a hologram, but there was a thing that happened in 2014 at the Billboard Music Awards. And then once Michael Jackson was up there singing in what seemed to be a hologram, then there was some subsequent debate. Is it technically a hologram? Well, no, not technically a hologram, but it's kind of a virtual Michael Jackson thing that happened. So sort of Michael Jackson has done all three of these things, but I'm sure in years to come, we'll see the full-fledged tour, we'll see the theatrical biopic, and it sounds like the Michael Jackson jukebox musical will come to Broadway. He'll have them all.